Good morning. Hey, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Steve Irwin. I'm one of the ones that typically is out here. It's been so long since I've been here. It's good to be home. It's good to be with you. And so thank you. Hey, thanks for your prayers. My family continues to go through this difficult season with both of my parents' health going down. And so I appreciate those of you that have asked about them, those of you that have reminded us that you're praying. It's a good thing to know that you've got family behind you, the family of God standing with you in prayer. And so thank you for that. You'll notice I've upgraded my attire. I actually found a tent store that had my size. And so that's an exciting thing that's happened. And since the last time I've seen you, I've taken up the game of chess. Yeah. Actually, my 8-year-old, with his birthday money, bought a chess set. I've never played chess before in my life, and so he's wanting to play me and challenge me, and so at 50 years of age, I'm taking on chess. If there's anybody here that has a tutorial that you chess for idiots or something like that, I'd be interested in borrowing your book or picking your brain, because I'm thinking I'm tired of being called into checkmate by an 8-year-old, okay? I need help. Years ago, I told you that I had experience as a missionary, and probably 20 years ago, we were in this garbage dump at the border, and there were people living there. And on the way out to this garbage dump, there was this barbed wire fence, and I thought it quite interesting that in this barbed wire fence was millions, and I exaggerate not, millions of plastic bags that were fluttering in the wind that had been tattered because they had been there for a while, and it made this weird sound. You know, take the fluttering of plastic and multiply it by a million, and it kind of creates this really haunting sound of abandonment and being out where nobody cares. And then we got within smelling distance, and we began to smell the acrid smoke of burning plastic and rubber. When we got into the area, it was just overrun with flies. You can imagine how just rotting flesh and nasty garbage just attracted the billions of flies. While we were walking through, there you could see broken toys and used up dirty diapers. You could find broken mirrors, shattered glass, twisted metal. And as we were walking through all of this ash and dirt and slime and garbage, I'm finding myself getting more and more depressed just by the atmosphere and the fact that there are actually people that are living there. That is home sweet home to them. And I'm wondering, God, how can this be? All of this garbage, all of this junk, all of this filth. And I began to weep. And as I'm walking and weeping for these people and for what the surroundings are that they are stuck in, I stumble upon this beautiful yellow flower. In the midst of all the garbage, in the midst of all the ugliness, in the midst of all this gloom and despair, this flower sprouts up, and it is beautiful. And I think it's probably one of the more beautiful flowers I've seen because of the stark contrast of where it was planted and all of the things that were surrounding it. Can I give you a little secret? Can I tell you a secret? You're going to have to lean in. I'm only going to say this once. We live in an ugly world. We too live in a garbage dump of a world. It wasn't God's intention for it to be ugly. In fact, when God created it, it was good. God looked at all that he created and he said, oh, this is good. This is really good. But we live in an ugly world. There's junk and brokenness and death and rot and decay all around us. And here's the sad picture. Here's the sad part about this. It's ugly, but it's getting uglier, isn't it? How many of you have lived for a while and you've watched how morals and values have deteriorated? You watched how just more filth and junk is on TV than it's ever been on before. And not to mention the pain and the hunger and the homelessness, the wars and rumors of wars, the diseases and death and destruction that is in our world, the broken homes, the broken families, the addiction, the human trafficking. We could go on and on and on, couldn't we? Talking about how filthy and dirty and ugly this place is. Not only that, not only is the world a dark and ugly place, but there are dark and ugly people that are in this world. Now, I'm not talking people of Walmart ugly, okay? I'm talking about truly emotionally bankrupt people that just suck the joy right out of you. That suck the wind out of your sails, that suck the very life fiber out of you, that their plot in life is to demotivate you and to discourage you. But in the midst of all this ugliness, in the midst of all of this garbage and junk, there is beauty to be found. There are beautiful people that are around that bring out wonderment and beauty and encouragement. Did you know that August is entitled Disgruntled Month? That this is the month when everybody's in a bad mood, typically, okay? I mean, it's time for vacations are over. It's when people are going back to work, back to routines. Now, I'm not saying everybody's disgruntled. I mean, but the majority of people are sad that the summer is over. Teachers aren't happy, students aren't happy, administrators aren't happy, bus drivers aren't happy, business owners aren't happy because the business is starting to wane and some of their help has gone back to school. Okay, all right, I'll give it to you. Stay-at-home moms are very happy in the month of August right now. And retired teachers, as they wave at their buddies that go back to school. Yes, there is some who are encouraged, but everybody else tends to be miserable. Now, in the midst of this disgruntled world, this ugly world we live in, here's my question. How would other people describe you? Are you part of the problem, or are you part of the solution? Are you part of the ugliness, or are you that one flower that stands out in the midst of a garbage dump? Are you a discourager? One that takes people's courage away, that undoes courage, that removes courage? Or are you an encourager? One who puts more courage into others? One who furnishes people with courage? That's what we want to talk about today. People that burst bubbles, crush dreams in the name of keeping it real? No, that's not what we want to be. What we want to be is the people that inspire others to keep trying, those who bring out the best in others, the people that give others hope, that bring a breath of fresh air and enhance the beauty and encourage the flower in other people to blossom. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being around negative people. I'm tired of being around the naysayers and the discouragers, the people that tell me what I can't do or how bad I am. I want somebody that'll stand up and add a little worth, add a little value to inspire me to a better life. Not only do I want to be around those people, I want to be one of those people. How about you? Well, the best way to do that, you know, we've got this idea in our minds what it means to be an encourager. Oh, somebody that goes around and tells us good things about ourselves, or somebody that'll let us know that they're praying for us, or someone that'll go the extra mile to befriend us. But we know that. But I want us to kind of learn from a biblical example today, okay? I want us to learn a lesson from a guy in the book of Acts named Joseph, who was a Levite from Cyprus. This guy is the real deal. So much so that the disciples didn't even call him by his first name. They didn't call him Joseph. You know what they called him? Barnabas. They nicknamed this guy Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. How would you like to go around your town and people not call you by your name, but they call you, hey, there goes the encourager. There's Mr. Encouragement. Would you like that? All right, well, let's go ahead and learn from Mr. Encouragement out of Acts. The Bible tells us that he was a good man. It's what it says in Acts chapter 11, verse 24. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. He was an encourager, and he went around encouraging everybody. Many were encouraged by this man's efforts. So if we desire to be an encouraging person, we would do well to follow Barnabas's example. Today, I just want to lift up a couple of places in the book of Acts where he's interacting with people and kind of show you how to be an amazing encourager. The first place I want you to look today is in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. When you look there, you will find that Joseph, Barnabas, is responding to needs that people have, and so he sells a field. And he takes the proceeds of that sale, and he takes those things, and he lays them down at the disciples' feet. He just gives. I don't know if he had a lot to give or a little bit to give, but he's encouraging people by helping to meet their needs. And what's amazing to me is here in the Bible, he's doing it anonymously. He's not front and center handing out stuff at the street corner to anybody and everybody. What does he do? He takes it and he lays it down at the apostles' feet, and he trusts them to meet the needs so that nobody knows he's the one that's actually done it. He doesn't want credit for it. Now, you may not have deep resources today. You may not be able to go and sell plots of land or sell off a business or a car or a boat or a home and give that to the church to allow us to meet others' needs. But there are simple things you can do to help out people in their hour of need. Maybe you can give somebody a ride that needs a ride to a doctor's appointment. Or maybe you can mow somebody's lawn. You see the need, you meet the need. Maybe you have taken a meal to somebody and you know what kind of encouragement that was in the hour of their need. Maybe you can babysit while they need to run an errand, or maybe you could give a little bit when we have our communion day. We have that offering that gives us an opportunity to bless our We Care ministry. Maybe you could do a little bit there, or you could bring some groceries and be able to encourage somebody that's in an hour of need. Or maybe you could take some time to visit shut-ins or send them a card periodically. There's a lot of ways that we can meet needs. Some of them are financial, but some of them just take a little bit of creativity, a little bit of time, a little bit of effort. And we can be like Barnabas and encourage others in their point and hour of need. When I was a seminary student, I used to take money and put it into envelopes and put it into the seminary post office box. What I would do is I actually had a job in seminary. Others, they were just there on scholarship, and they were there, you know, trying to make ends meet, and they were squeezing by. And we'd be sitting in class, and they'd be talking about an insurance bill that would be coming up, or that they didn't have enough money to buy the book that was needed or required for a class. And so hearing them, being sensitive to what was going on with them, I was able to take and anonymously contribute. And I can tell you this, when you take the time to encourage others, you know what happens? You become encouraged. You find yourself lifted up. You find yourself in a different place. And so we want to be encouragers, not for the sake of being encouraged, but we know that encouraging others by noting their needs and helping to be a part of the answer blesses them. And in God's economy, he's not going to allow you to bless somebody without him blessing you in return. The second thing we see Barnabas doing is in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 28. Now, understand this, kind of the background. Paul had his Damascus Road experience. He had gotten saved amazingly. And this one who was a persecutor of the church has now become a member of that faith. And he's trying to do what God has called him to do. But here's what the Bible says. When Paul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul was able to stay with the disciples, and he was able to move about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. You see, the disciples were afraid of this man. They were intimidated by Paul. They were reluctant to embrace him. And what do we find the encourager doing? The encourager goes to bat for Paul, doesn't he? He takes and he says, okay, disciples, you're keeping this guy at a distance. Wait a minute. You're getting this all wrong. And Barnabas breaks down the barrier. He uses his reputation and his credibility to open up the door for Paul. You see, encouragers are willing to put their reputations on the line to vouch for people that they believe in. Have you encouraged someone lately by standing up for them when they couldn't get any credibility, when no one else believed in them, when everybody else may have been a little afraid? You see, encouragers speak up with positive words and affirmations about people that others are a little skeptical about. Think about it. Who is misunderstood in your circle of influence? Who are the people that have hidden talents and hidden abilities? Who are the diamonds in the rough? You know they have value. You know that they can be contributors. They just need a break. They need a chance for others to discover them. Someone to believe in them. Did you know that being an encourager could just be someone who believes in others that opens up doorways of opportunity for them? You see, encouragers go out of their way to help others get discovered. It's not only about meeting needs. It's not only speaking pleasantries and kindness. It's not just about being willing to make a prayer for somebody. It's actually putting yourself out there on the line and saying, you know what? They're okay. I vouch for them. I put my reputation on the line. You see, an encourager will embrace those whom the world shuns. You remember what Jesus and the disciples did? Jesus got called on the carpet for eating with tax collectors and sinners. He was breaking down the stigma. He was making it okay to minister to certain groups and types of people. Some of the greatest encouragement that I've ever seen, some of the greatest ministry I've ever seen has been in school cafeterias. You see, that's where the lines are often drawn between those that are in and those that are out, that the people that have and the people that have not, that there's a class ranking system, isn't there, in the school cafeteria and beyond. And what I love is when somebody who's from the popular group is willing to sit down with those that are not so popular and lend their credibility so that that person who's on the outs gets loved and accepted and woven in. Students, you've gone back to high school. I challenge you to be an encourager in this way. Go out of your way to be sweet to those that other people find nothing of interest in, those that find no value in them. Go and give your best. Befriend them and love them and help them find their place. Then thirdly, I see in this person of Barnabas, Acts chapter 11, 25 and 26, you see the church in Antioch had a need, that they were needing people that could train them. They were needing people that could lead them. And so what the Bible tells us is that Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. He went to look for Paul. And when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. And so for a year, Barnabas and Paul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. So much so that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Isn't that amazing? Barnabas is aware of a need in Antioch, and here he knows Paul, and he knows that Paul has this special skill set, and he says, wait a minute, they're over here, and they need a teacher, and this guy's over here, and he's a great teacher. Maybe I could bring the two together. They need a great preacher. He's a great preacher. Maybe I could bring them together. So being a consummate encourager, he puts the equation together, and he says, yes, Antioch needs Paul, and Paul needs Antioch. And he brings those two pieces of the equation together. Encouragers are always looking for circumstances and situation, people and places, looking to figure out how to bring best case scenarios together. Y'all know Cameron Winton, right? She's the one that filled in for me several weeks during the summer. She's on staff and she's part of our small group ministry. Cameron Winton has a gift for doing this kind of encouragement with people. She loves to sit down and listen to people and hear their stories. She has this uncanny ability to get to know folks and to find out their strengths, their passions, their experience, and their abilities. And then we may be sitting in a meeting at church or in staff meeting, and we're talking about needs that are in the church, and she says, I know just the person that would help fill in that place, that would help meet that need. And then she goes and talks to the person, and they get affirmed and encouraged because somebody's listened to them. Somebody has taken the time to get to know them and their strengths and all that they can bring to the table. And then they're affirmed and encouraged because now they have a place. She helps them find their niche. I love that. Encouragers aren't just about speaking nice things. Encouragers are about investing in people and listening to people and helping them plug in where they can be best utilized. Who knew that being an encourager, those of you that are just good listeners, you could be an encourager just by listening. Who knew that helping people find their niche could be a source and a stream of encouragement? Somebody listening, somebody helping others find their place to plug in and be useful in the family and the army of God. And then lastly, I see this in Barnabas. He's in Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas have had their first missionary journey, and they took along with them John Mark, and he was helping them. And this is what the Bible says. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. He says, let's go on a second missionary journey. And Barnabas says, hey, how about we take John Mark again? And Paul says, I don't think it's wise to take him because he deserted us in this area and he didn't continue with us in the work. He basically bailed on us is what Paul is saying. And Barnabas and Paul have sharp words, is what it says in verse 39. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company, and Barnabas took John Mark and he sailed for Cyprus. You see, Barnabas and Paul had this misunderstanding. They tied up over John Mark. Where's the encourager? What's he doing? He's wanting to give John Mark a second chance. He's all about saying, you know what? Yeah, he may have been a little wet behind the ears. He may have been a little raw. He may have disappointed us, but he's wanting to go, and I think we ought to give him another chance. And Paul, of all people, says no. You see, if it hadn't been for Barnabas giving him a second chance, we wouldn't have known anything about Paul. And Paul's like, no way. I'm done with him. He's disappointed me once. I'm over John Mark. Barnabas wouldn't budge. He was willing to give him another chance, a second shot. And here once again, we find Barnabas going to bat for somebody who others didn't believe in, who they didn't want to be around. And he ends a successful partnership, a missionary enterprise with Paul to go and give John Mark that second chance. It's what I love about Worship at the Water. It's what I love about you folks. You are willing to take people who the world has given up on, who've been cast out and forgotten, businessmen and businesswomen. You're giving folks jobs, other folks, individuals. You're helping out folks with donations and blessings and encouragements. This whole group is filled with grace for those who mess up regularly. I love the fact that this is a place where you don't have to have it figured out. None of us have it figured out, but we're figuring it out together, and we're encouraging one another to keep in the game, to keep fighting, to keep struggling, to be used by God in some way, shape, or form. I love y'all because you see potential. And if there's anything that is missing in today's world, it's those that are able to look beneath the surface and see people's potential. You know what I love about Barnabas's risk? It paid off. It paid off in spades. John Mark became this amazing worker. He became this amazing person. And even Paul changed his mind. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, here's what Paul had to say later about John Mark. He says, "Only Luke is with me. Get John Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in ministry." This is the guy he had crossed off the list. This is the guy he's like, no way will I ever give him a second chance. But because of Barnabas, John Mark is able to step it up and to do better and actually find himself into Paul's good graces again. You know, it's true. We live in an ugly world. It can remind us of a garbage dump, can't it? But you know, there are people in this world that are flowers. They bring beauty to the ugliness. They inspire and they bless. They lift us up and they help us to unlock our potential. They give us compliments. They speak blessings. They offer prayers. But then they give. They give of themselves to meet our needs. They actually are people that offer support. They are ones that open up doors of opportunity. They're the ones that believe in us and give us the second chance. You know, this world would be a lot uglier and a lot darker if not for encouragers. My prayer is that we will become encouragers to fill the world with flowers. That we would be those who others can see the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of encouragement within us and want to follow in our path. That want to follow us to the feet of Jesus to live lives that bless others. Today, as you've come, maybe you are in need of encouragement. I pray that you'll find encouragement here this morning. And maybe you're here and you've not had a lot of practice being an encourager. This would be a great place to start encouraging and blessing one another. And maybe you're here today and you've just never said yes to Jesus. Can I encourage you today? Your need needs to meet His supply. And you think life may be over, you think that there is no possibility for new beginnings, you have no idea the kind of life that you can live until you plug into Him and His life and His purpose. Today as we go to prayer, I want you to consider, God, what are you calling me to do? Who are you calling me to be? Are you calling me to be a follower of yours for the first time? Or maybe we've got off track and we've begun to stray away. Maybe it's time to reconnect. Or maybe, just maybe, you're already in good with God. You're really walking the walk, but you've kind of been negligent about being an encourager to others so that they would want what you have and become who you are. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit deals with you this morning, as the band comes up and plays, I hope that you will do spiritual work with God because He's here to meet with you. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that you are a God who encourages us, that you take time to meet us where we are, to let us know that we are loved, that we are not alone, that we are valuable, that we are precious in your sight. Lord, I pray that you would encourage each and every person here today, and that, Father, you would help us to develop a ministry of encouragement to others. It can be very simple, but we need to be intentional. Help us today. Move among us. Meet our needs. Bless our lives. Help us to become more like you. And Lord, if there's any in this place today that has never said yes to your life and to your spirit control, I pray this would be the day where they say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Enter into my heart. Change me so that I might be your follower for the rest of my life. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who answers prayer. So answer our prayers, meet our needs, bless our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. And all those gathered in the meeting said,
Amen.